Today's briefing is curated from tens of thousands of articles across hundreds of global sources and voiced by AI. Let's start with the biggest story of the day. The U.S. just launched something called Operation Economic Outcast, a sweeping new round of sanctions on Iran's trade partners hitting digital assets, aviation, and shipping all at once.
That greatest financial offensive ever marshaled line is Treasury's own description of Treasury's own program. So take the superlative with a grain of salt. But the action itself is primary sourced, not a press release, and Iran's reaction tells you it's landing.
Iran's threatening to halt all Gulf oil exports and says 45 tankers now face fines or confiscation in the Strait of Hormuz. The Revolutionary Guard is warning that any strike on Iranian infrastructure gets met with, quote, heavy strikes on U.S. interests.
The U.S. has already diverted 70 ships to enforce a blockade there. Normally, I'd ask who's confirming those tanker numbers, but they're showing up across outlets. And the rial cratering past $2 million to the dollar is a real data point, not spin.
That's the tell, honestly. You can wave away a press release, but you can't wave away a currency in free fall. Fuel lines at the pumps. Sanctions pressure mounting. Iran's economy is actually buckling, not just posturing diplomatically.
Which makes the oil market's own reaction the interesting wrinkle. Prices actually fell ahead of the sanctions taking effect, which tells you traders aren't yet pricing in Iran, following through on the Hormuz threat.
Second escalation of the day, and this one's with an ally. Trump is threatening 50% tariffs on Canadian autos and steel starting January 2027. And trade talks collapsed over the weekend.
Ontario's Premier Ford didn't take that quietly. He's threatening to cut electricity and critical mineral exports to the U.S. and reportedly said Ronald Reagan would be throwing up over this. Strong image, weak as an argument, but it captures the mood.
The mood shows up in the polling, too. 76% of Canadians now say ending trade talks with the U.S. was the right call, and 59% have little or no confidence a deal even gets reached.
That's a proper named survey, the Angus Reid Institute, so I'll take those numbers at face value. The Canadian dollar tumbling on the back of all this, is the market casting the same vote?
Carney's not just posturing either. He's committing $11 billion to build 6 new icebreakers in Quebec for the Coast Guard, which reads like a government settling in for a long fight, not a quick truce.
Two escalations, two currencies wobbling, and neither Washington relationship is even the one involving actual troops. That distinction belongs to Ukraine.
Right. Prime Minister Burnham flew to Kyiv for Ukraine's Independence Day, handed over Storm Shadow missile blueprints, and signed an AI defense partnership with Ukraine's Avengers AI Labs.
That one's genuinely well-sourced. The UK government itself is calling it a landmark deal, and a missile blueprint handover is a concrete, checkable action, not just another statement of support.
Moscow wasn't thrilled. Russia's withdrawn its ambassador to the UK, with the Kremlin accusing Britain of, quote, adding fuel to the fire.
Small catch worth flagging, though. Ambassador Kellen actually left his post back on July 21st. This is over a month old, just getting wider pickup now that Burnham's Kyiv trip gives it a news hook.
Good catch. Still, the AU approved another €6.1 billion for Ukraine's air defense, missiles, and ammunition this week, and the Coalition of the Willing met in Kyiv to talk troop deployments. Support keeps compounding even where one story's stale.
Agreed, and that funding figure is cleanly sourced through Reuters, so no skepticism needed on that part of it.
Before we go lighter, the human toll today. A wildfire near Reno, Nevada, the Hawk Fire, confirmed human-caused, has forced 42,000 evacuations, with 45,000 more on alert and 6 people injured.
800 firefighters on that one, confirmed across AP, CBS, and Forbes. No ambiguity here, just dry conditions and bad luck.
And in Conakry, Guinea, a landfill collapse after heavy rains has killed at least 30 people, after a landslide buried shacks built against it. Rescue operations are still ongoing.
That's grim, and unfortunately not rare. Landfills next to informal settlements plus a hard rain is a recurring disaster shape. Multiple wire services confirm the toll, so this isn't speculation.
One more political result worth a beat. Kazakhstan's brand new pro-government party, Adalit, just won the parliamentary election with roughly 70% of the vote.
A party that barely existed sweeping 70% should make you ask about the competition, not just repeat the landslide. This reads like consolidation of President Tokayev's power, dressed up as an election.
Let's close the heavy stuff on actual good news. The FDA cleared Roche and Eli Lilly's Alzheimer's blood test, the Alexey's p-tau 217, for clinical use.
That one I'll just call solid. FDA clearance is about as primary as sourcing gets. And a minimally invasive way to catch Alzheimer's early is a real result. Not a press release wearing a lab coat.
Switching to tech, NVIDIA's begun producing Grok AI racks after that $20 billion purchase, with Grok 3 LPX systems set to come online at the cloud provider Nebius later this year.
That's reported by Anadolu Agency and CNBC, not an NVIDIA announcement itself, so it's secondhand. But multiple outlets converging on the same detail gives it some real weight.
There's also a report that Hugging Face, the platform most open model builders rely on, is exploring a sale that could value it north of $13 billion.
Single sourced to Bloomberg through a news aggregator and phrased as report says. So call it a rumor worth watching, not a done deal. If a big tech buyer takes that over, open model access changes shape fast.
On the more dubious end, there's a piece on Apple bringing ChatGPT into iMessage on Mac to read, write, and send messages on someone's behalf.
The privacy concern is worth having, but I'd want a sturdier source than this one before treating the mechanics as confirmed. It reads as opinion dressed up as a feature story.
Quick science roundup. Earth's oceans hit their hottest recorded temperature, 21.1 degrees Celsius, according to Copernicus data, breaking the previous record set in 2024.
Copernicus is a solid climate data source, so that number holds up. Pair it with forecasts for a historically strong El Niño across 2026 into 2027. And that's a real trend, not a blip.
There's also a genuinely elegant result in there. Climate scientists think they've solved a long-standing South Asian monsoon paradox. Rising temperatures over southern Africa are cutting upwelling in the Arabian Sea, which threatens regional fisheries.
And NASA's Roman Space Telescope is cleared for final launch preparations ahead of liftoff on August 30th. That's a hard date, easy to check, so we'll know soon whether it holds.
Let's do a rapid lap through the rest of the day. In the UK, NHS dentist numbers have fallen 10% in under a decade, and graduate job vacancies are down almost 50% year on year, both from named surveys. So those are real trend lines.
In Australia, the CFMEU's Victorian headquarters got raided, and five people arrested in a corruption probe. And Prime Minister Albanese is holding the line on the GST split despite premiers pushing back hard for a change.
Japan unveiled its first neutral-atom quantum computer, and a cross-party delegation flew to Beijing trying to patch up relations after that Taiwan remark fallout. Both primary-ish, both worth a beat rather than a deep dive.
On the society side, former snooker champion Graham Dott was convicted of sexually abusing two children, and an arbitrator ordered the Washington Post to rehire columnist Corinne Atiyah, ruling the paper lacked good cause to fire her.
A couple of science notes deserve a sentence each too. Researchers found new immune hubs in skull bone marrow defending the brain. Though that's a mouse study, so don't overread it. And metformin got linked to having dementia risk in an observational study. Suggestive, not conclusive.
There's also a batch of graphics research out today, on compressing lighting data and reconstructing surfaces from point clouds. Niche, archive, only stuff, but it's the unglamorous work that ends up inside every rendering engine a couple of years from now.
Last thing before we look ahead. Shane's Hong Kong IPO just priced at up to $27 billion, well below its old $100 billion peak. That's a real signal about investor appetite for fast fashion right now.
And bond markets are already anxious ahead of Fed Chair Warsh's Jackson Hole speech. Worth watching rather than reacting to, since we don't have the actual remarks yet, that one's still to come.
Funny enough, Nevada's fire, Guinea's landfill, and Iran's fuel lines all share a shape. Weather or scarcity does the initial damage, then human systems, whether that's construction or sanctions, amplify it.
Not a grand theory, just a pattern showing up more than once today. So what do we actually watch tomorrow?
Whether Iran moves on those Hormuz tanker threats, whether Ontario follows through on cutting power and minerals to the U.S., and what Warsh actually says at Jackson Hole once the speech lands.
And whether the Roman telescope launches on schedule on August 30th. That's the one clean good news marker on this whole list, with a fixed date attached to it.
That's the scan for August 25th. Escalation on three fronts, one solid piece of medical news, and a telescope worth rooting for. We'll be back tomorrow.
Stay skeptical out there, but not cynical. Today actually had a few things worth believing. See you then.